and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Natco Pharma Limited Q2 FY26 earnings call hosted by B&K Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Rishikesh from B&K Securities. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of B&K Securities, I welcome you all to the Q2 FY26 earnings conference call of Natco Pharma. Hope everyone is in good health and doing well. On behalf of Natco today, we have with us Mr. Rajeev Nannapaneni, Vice Chairman and CEO, Mr. Rajesh Chebiyam, Executive Vice President, Crop Health Sciences. I now hand over the call to the management's opening remarks, post which open the session for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Right. Thank you, Rishikesh. Good morning and welcome everyone to Natco's conference call discussing our earnings results for the second quarter of FY26, which ended September 30th, 2025. As a disclaimer, during the call, we may be making certain forward-looking statements or statements about future events, and anything said on this call which reflects our outlook for future must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. I would like to state that the material of the call, except for the participant questions, is the property of Natco and cannot be recorded or rebroadcast without Natco's expressed written permission. So we'll begin with the results highlight and then go for a Q&A. And hope all of you have received the financials and the press release that was sent earlier today. These are also available on our website. Natco recorded consolidated total revenue of 1463 crores for the quarter ended on 30th September 2025, as against 1434.9 crores as of 30th September 2024. EBITDA for the quarter was at 679.2 crores with margins at 46.4%. The net profit for the period on a consolidated basis was 517.9 crores. During the quarter, the company has incurred substantial R&D expenses on bioequivalents and one-time employee bonuses, in addition to other business-related provisions. The Board of Directors have declared an interim dividend of 1.5 rupees per equity share of 2 rupees during the quarter. On the segmental revenue split for the quarter two, the API clocked 53.9 crores, domestic formulations 105.4 crores, formulation exports including the profit share and subsidiaries clocked 1147 crores, crop health sciences clocked 52.4 crores, other operating and non-operating income was 104.3 crores, all consolidating to 1463 crores. Thank you all. We will take Q&A now.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rahul, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. My query is that other expenses had by, you said this for research and development on bioequivalence. Does that mean it's for the purpose of Para IV filings for generic drugs?
Yes, sure. So, Rahul, to answer your question, yes, there are for Para IV filings for generic drugs, and we're doing some clinical trials for first-time generics in India. So there are a lot of one-time costs that we have had, some substantial costs that we had. So, and then there were some R&D purchases that we had done, which were very expensive. So, so that's the reason why we, the other expenses are a little bit on the higher side.
Okay, sir. Right, sir. And sir, what is the reason for the increase in provisions to very high, relatively earlier we didn't have so much? It's just to cushion the impact for the next 2 quarters.
I think what we did is, it's a good quarter, so we thought, you know, we'll make, provisions for contingencies, and I think the major provisions that we have made, I think one was for patent litigation we have made. So there's not a cash outflow, but it's a provision. And there were some business expenses and then some inventory and so general core for the business, part of the course for the business. So they are routine business expenses that we have provisioned for.
One last question, sir. Domestic semaglutide, we were given phase 3 clinical trials somewhere in December or January earlier this year. So, typically, how long does it take?
We are on target. I think everything is, review is all completed. If we file in December, we're hoping that will be in the first wave. Which is, hoping the market will open around March. So, so we expect around March. Yeah. Next caller, please.
All right.
Thank you very much. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and 1 at this time. I repeat, participants who wish to ask a question may press star and 1 at this time. The next question is from the line of Rishikesh from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon everyone. So quickly, Raju, on the Revlimid update, how has the quarter panned out? Are we seeing incremental competition and what is the way forward in 3Q and 4Q? That's my first question.
So I think this quarter has done well. I think we have done extremely well. I think that's reflected in the numbers. Regarding Q3 and Q4, we're not expecting much. I think we're seeing more competition. I'm not expecting much. I think in my mind, in our budgeting, we have not kept much revenue from lenalidomide. So we see increased competition and uncertainty about whether we'll get market share. So I think we're not budgeting much.
But has the market changed vis-a-vis what it was in QQ materially in Q2 versus Q1?
No, you're asking me what are... estimation of Q3, Q4 is, our estimation is that there will be more intense competition, so we are not sure whether we will have market share. So that's the reason why we are not budgeted much.
Okay, that's helpful. Second, to Rajiv, on the agri front, what's the status and update on the CTPR? We are launched. Have we gained enough market share, what we expected, what we internal had projected?
I think we have done well. How has that come? Yeah, the CTPR has done well, especially the CTPR combinations have done well. And if you look at the business now, it has grown to about 52 crores this quarter. So we are at least close to EBITDA positive now. Earlier we were losing money. Now we are doing, give or take, R&D expense here or there. But I think we are about EBITDA positive at this time. So it's in a good place. And I think we have announced earlier, that we will, demerge this business from the main company and list it separately. And we're targeting that for the year 2026.
And just quickly, has CTPR exports commenced? And we were...
I think the focus right now is mostly on the domestic business. We have some opportunity, but I think most of the opportunity is in the domestic space.
Okay.
We'll give a chance to the next caller.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ask a question, please press star and 1. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
All right, thanks for taking my question. Rajiv, for F26, have we made any new Para 4 filings? And how much, and are you looking to file anything in H2?
I think we intend to file another 3-4 products, Nitin. I think whether we'll be sole FTF and all that, I don't know. But we'll speak about it once the filings are done. But we're targeting another 3-4 filings in the next few months.
And on semaglutide, apart from the domestic market, are we looking to enter any of the markets over the next couple of years?
No, I think the major focus is domestic, and then we're looking at some opportunities in the Western world, but those don't open up for the next few years. So right now, only India.
Okay. And Ravi, something more on the India business, barring semaglutide, if you can just give us a little bit more color on how, you know, how has the business really fared over the last couple of quarters, and how do you see it moving, ex of semaglutide, how do you moving, how do you see it faring going forward? And per se, what are your own thoughts on how does SEMA, how relevant is SEMA for us from a domestic market perspective over the next couple of years?
I think domestic has done well, and I think it's been stable, as you can see. And I think this quarter we had the launch of Resity Plan, so which is also doing reasonably well. It's not a large product, but nevertheless, it will strengthen the base business. And I think the biggest one will be semaglutide. Hopefully, if all regulatory approvals pending, every other thing goes well, we should be in the first wave, so which I anticipate around March or April. I think everything is on target, Nitin. My sense is that we will do well next year. I think the domestic business should do reasonably well. And I think a lot of it is driven by the, I think, semaglutide obviously is the big one. So I think that and the smaller brands also should do well.
And if I can squeeze in last one, any commentary on our key key subsidiary outside of the U.S. Any in terms of launches and the kind of scale-up they've had in the business?
I think, December quarter will be the first quarter where we'll not have Revlimid substantially. So I think this will be like, a different type of a quarter. So, but my sense is that, we are stable. I think we're looking good. I think we have good launches in Brazil. We're the first generic of carfilzomib in Brazil, so that is doing reasonably well. So I think the ROW business, Saudi is doing well. I think our Canada business also, after the warning letter being lifted in Kothur, we're able to do more supplies to Canada. So our sense is that overall our ROW business is doing well. Domestic is stable. And we have some very good launches lined up in the U.S. next year. So I think overall, I think we're very excited. And so we believe, the base should do well.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank
you very much. The next question is from the line of Kunal Randeria from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, Rajiv and Rajesh. Rajiv, any particular launches you want to call out in the U.S. for FY27 and 28?
No, I can't, Kunal, because they're all bound by confidentiality. We have shared our, Paracore pipeline, which is there in our website. But exactly, you can't name them until we are closer to the launch, Kunal. But I expect, I think you should expect 26, 27, we'll have one or two, but bigger launches are happening in 27, 28. So 26, 27 will be a little dull, but I think 27, 28 on, things will pick up.
Fair point. And secondly, again, going back to semaglutide, the fact that you have an FTF in the U.S., so I'm just a bit surprised why, you aren't pursuing opportunities in markets where present, like Canada, Brazil, now South Africa. So what's exactly happening there?
No, South Africa we can do. I think we're doing South Africa, but the patent opens up not right now. It'll open up a little later. Canada and all, we gave it to Viatris. And so we are not in the first wave. We are, I think that's why we're not giving any guidance at this time.
Sorry, you gave it to Viatris, meaning you sold it, or is it your partner? I didn't get that.
We have a deal. No, Kunal, it's there in the public domain. Our market business is through Viatris and with our,
sure.
We have a JV with our CMO, our partner, OneSource, and the regulated market business is through Viatris.
Sure. And Brazil, are you targeting that market?
We're looking at it, but I think, see, our doctor is not so advanced where I can give you guideline timelines on launch and all. I think once we make significant regulatory progress, I think I'll talk about it.
Sure. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Participants may press star and one in order to ask a question. I repeat, participants may press star and one in order to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rahul, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, recently there was a news report of US government making some deals with the innovators of Ozempic, Wegovy, and substantially reducing their prices for the consumers. Doesn't that impact us in our future that we thought about the US semaglutide opportunity?
No, I think the opportunity is so large, Rahul, it won't matter. I think it's such a large opportunity. When it actually opens up, I mean, any share that you take in that volume, you'll be very happy. Obviously, there will be some disruption, but overall, the opportunity is fairly large.
So secondly, sir, this recently this news report came about you all winning a tender, a government tender from the Chinese government for Olaparib. So we didn't have any, disclosure on that. So that's not very material financially. That's why, or it's still not 100%.
It's not a lot. I mean, we won the tender, but it's a very cutthroat price. So it's not a material amount. We are selling in China, which is good. And we have a reasonable ROW business. And I think you're seeing that in our export business. We are doing reasonably well. But yeah, it's not like, as you rightly said, it's not a very large amount that is worthy of speaking about. Yeah, it is routine.
Understood, sir. Yeah. So one question, sir. So now that we have completed the AdCock purchase, so in Q3, we will see the impact of all the three quarters of AdCock this year? Revenue and the profit?
Yeah. So I think, sure, I'll answer that question. So basically what will happen is, I think we need to understand one thing. Now Lenalidomide is gone. So what you're going to have are numbers without the substantial contribution of Lenalidomide. So my expectation is, again, I'll speak only for the next 6 months because I don't want to talk about next year because we'll have more clarity in the next few months. So we expect our run rate to be around 750 to 800 crores of revenue and a PAT should be around 135 to 150. I think that's what I can give, which is more or less consistent with the annual guidance that we gave. So I think for 6 months, what is our profit, Rajesh? I think Give me 1 second.
Around 1,000 crores.
About 998 crores. So I think we'll end the year with about another extra 250 to 300 crores of extra PAT we were expecting. So more or less, I think it's on the guidance. And AdCock, what we're doing is because we don't have 50 plus percent, we're going to consolidate only the profit, not the. So we will able to consolidate partially for this quarter, not the full quarter, because the actual delisting happened only last few days ago. So for some portion of this quarter, we're able to do. For next quarter onward, we're able to consolidate fully. I think that's what our expectations. But we'll only do as an associate. And the sales of that entity, as I remember correctly, is about, the exchange rate keeps changing, is about 550 million. And PAT is around 46 million. That's a steady state PAT they had. And you can do the math. About 35%, 36% is what we're going to consolidate.
Okay. So one last question from your presentation, sir. We have this stage on those 4 or 5 investments that we have done in Cellogen and Stenio Therapeutics and two other. So how are we governing our investment there, sir? Because these are new. In these things, don't they need more investments? Like there's one in Movel drug thing also, like Steno Therapeutics. How do you monitor investments there? What these companies are doing?
We have a team which monitors, and I think a lot of these investments are like a skill set that we don't have internally, and we do it with to build relationships, to understand what's happening. It's a finite amount of investment. I mean, it's not a large amount. I think, as you're aware, I mean, we had a reasonable amount of surplus. I think the amount of money that we have put doesn't exceed more than 40, 50 crores a year. A lot of these are very small, small investments. I mean, they're all very exciting ones. I mean, I think my, obviously the biggest exciting one is the eGenesis one, which is the kidney transplant, where they're taking a pig, a genetic engineered pig, and in, putting it in a human. And one of the patients actually lived for, I mean, he's for more than 6 months. And another patient is still comfortable, so he's on the pig kidney. So these are very, like, disruptive investments, my friend. So if you get any of these right, I mean, you know, it's, you can only do a...
So do we have, upside in, like, in the car, there's a CAR T-cell therapy also, and this one. Do we have any provision of increasing our investment there, equity value, or it's, this is finite?
I think so. I think any opportunity comes, we'll do. I think we're always open to these ideas. Yeah, I think we're always open.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Okay, then. Thank you so much. Next caller, please.
Thank you very much. A reminder for participants to press star and one in order to ask a question. I repeat, participants may press star and one in order to ask a question. The next question is from the line of S.C. Gupta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good day, Rajiv. I would like to know, you also talked about sometimes back about a takeover in US also. Is that on?
Well, could you say that again, please?
You spoke about a takeover in rest of world and one in US. Is that on?
Like
you have taken over Adcock in...
Yeah, we're looking at different investment options. We're always open. I think we have still have substantial cash even after the transaction. So I think we're looking good. Any opportunities there, definitely we're looking at. Yeah.
Okay. So US opportunity is still you are looking for. If you get a good opportunity, you will take it.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. Thank you.
And secondly, about the Adcock turnover, are you expecting a reasonable growth in Adcock also?
I think so. We just got into the asset, so I can't speak about it right now. But yes, I think we expect good growth in the asset, and we're going to add a pipeline to the asset as well. So we're giving our India pipeline and also in-licensing other products from our partners. So we believe that, you know, it has, you know, a lot of substantial growth. Not near term, but I think in the long term, yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much. The next question is from the line of Alok Chaudhary, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. My question is the 3,900 crores that is lying in your books. In the last con call, you have mentioned that you were looking for some acquisition. Is that there in your mind, or it will take another 3 to 4 months? And my second question is, does it hold any significance now of the SPF of semaglutide in USA? Because earlier, around a year back, it was like that you will definitely enter the market and you will generate a good sale. But now many of the pharma companies are there in the market. Does it hold any significance, and will it have a material impact on your volumes?
For India, you're saying, or for US, you're saying?
For USA.
Okay, fine. So let me answer one question at a time. So first you said how much cash we have. We have about 3,000 net we have, but this is before the Adcock acquisition. So we spent, I think, 1,600 crores of the cash we have used for the Adcock acquisition, and we borrowed about 400 crores for the transaction. So of that 3,900, 1,600 has been used up by the company. Plus, there will be some receivable that we'll have in the next, you know, for this quarter, so for the announced quarter. So we expect the cash will be around maybe 2728 is what we're expecting a cash will settle around, but we'll see how things go. Yeah. So that's our expectation of the cash. Regarding semaglutide opportunity, I think it is an interesting opportunity. I think the FTF means that you will be the only one before everyone else. So it doesn't mean that that you because of competition doesn't mean that that you're not able to launch a product before everyone else. You can launch, provided you get the FTA. This is all subject to regulatory approval and us getting the FTA. That obviously being the most important thing here. So we get it, then I think we're okay. So the opportunity still remains interesting. And even post-exclusivity, because it's such a large market, there will be a reasonable opportunity. I think that's my sense. I would disagree with you when you say that the opportunity doesn't exist. It is still a very good opportunity.
Okay, sir. And my last question is that, what do you think that you will be able to make up with the sale of semaglutide that you will be losing with the Revlimid sale? Maybe in 3 to 4 years with the same margin, or the margin will dilute?
See, I've already told what our margins are going to be in the next few quarters. So I think we already spoke about that. It's already there on the record. Regarding, see, our business, the way it works is you have your base business, you have what you get. The trick in this business is that you keep doing something innovative all the time, and then you get that jackpot, which can give you that something special. So we keep trying different things. I think we have a lot of FTFs that are there in the next 10 years. If you look at our pipeline, we have semaglutide, which is a few years away. We have irbutinib, which is a few years away. We have olaparib. We have edafitinib. And they'll play out over the next few years. I think what I've said, like 27 March, we don't have anything. But I think post 27 March, some of these smaller FTFs will start paying up. Will we ever, when will we hit that, you know, very large number and all? It's all contingent on, what pipeline we have and what we file and how we do things. So you just have to be patient and just look at the pipeline, and somewhere, you know, we'll get a breakthrough.
Fine. And so one more question, can I ask?
The base will grow around, the base will grow around 10 to 15% every year, I think, with the new base that has been set. And then the upside is always there, you know, depending on what product you know.
And so one more question. Sir, as the our Revlimid is now off-patented, so can you be able to sell it on the regulated market and rest of the world market in the generic form also? At least it can give some traction to the bottom line, because you have all the facilities and all. So aren't you looking for the generic product? But you told that you have not provision for Revlimid sale in the quarter 3 and quarter 4.
But we get some sale. I'm not saying we'll not get any sale, but what I'm saying is that the sale will be driven by very high amount of competition, so we are not giving a very aggressive guidance. That's all we said.
Okay, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you. And all the best for the future.
Okay, fine. Yeah, thank you. Next caller, please.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, a gentle reminder to press star and one in order to ask a question. I repeat, a reminder for participants to press star and one in order to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rishikesh from BNK Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, go ahead, Rishikesh.
Since Rishikesh sir is not responding, we will move to the next question. The next question is from the line of Deepak Ajmera from IGE India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm at this side instead of Deepak. So my question is regarding that, what is the status of making Adcock Ingram from public limited companies to private limited?
It's already private, Deepak. So what we have done is we have bought out all the public shareholding. So right now, the company is completely delisted. So there are only two shareholders. It's Midwest and there's Natco. So only two shareholders in the whole company. That's it. It's a private company right now.
Got it. And secondly, on G Revlimid side, so for Q3, we will get the sales. Is that the understanding correct, that into Q3, we will get the sales as into the previous quarter, and from Q4 onwards the competition starts?
No, my friend, I think this is it. Q2 is the end. There's nothing in Q3. We don't expect anything. We have normal sale. I think what we have, we're present, lenalidomide is in multiple markets. We are expecting very heavy competition, so we're not budgeting any large budgets. I think it is, it's very competitive, and I think depending on what market share we'll get, we'll see. But we don't expect any big numbers from, it'll be, highly competitive numbers, because we don't think it'll be a very large number.
Got it. And on semaglutide side, so if all being well, when should we be able to launch the drug?
Is your question, if all is well, when will we be able to launch this product in India?
Correct.
Or in the US? India. India, we expect in the first wave, Rahul. I think our clinical trial will get done in December, so we hope to file for approval by December and early January. All the work is done. I think all the review is completed. So we're only waiting for the clinical trial to be reviewed, and then they'll clear it. So we're hoping we'll be in the first wave in around March, April, when the market opens up.
Okay. And what about US?
US will take some time. The launch is a few years away. And our regulatory file is still under review, and we're answering some queries, and the launch date is a few years away.
Got it. And we have recently won some court case into Delhi for a drug. So what kind of impact does can it create on our P&L?
It's a small product. It has got a lot of attention because of the nature of the therapy it is. It is for spinal muscular atrophy, SMA. It affects young children who have a genetic defect. It's good that we have launched it. We are the only generic in the market right now. So we're doing extremely well with the product. But it's not a large market. It's not like semaglutide type of market. Very small, niche, limited market. But we're doing well in that segment and gives us entry into the neurology segment. So,
good. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Zain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yes, you are. Go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I would like to ask that you have said 200 to 250 crores PAT in S2. Additional PAT will be through includes Ingram, Adcock Ingrams, or how will it come?
We are saying we're doing about 135 to 150 crores a quarter from Q3 onwards, and partially in this quarter and fully in Q4. Yes, that includes Ingram. That's correct. Yes.
Okay, so 250 will be including Ingram. And some of the upcoming payments...
I said 135 to... One second. 135 to 150 per quarter. So it will be 270 to 300... Yes, yes. For the second half of the year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And upfront payment of 225 million will in the, how will it get goodwills, or it will go to intangibles, and how would be the balance sheet, where it will be affected?
You mean the Adcock investment you're saying?
Yes.
So basically what happens is Adcock investment becomes the investment in the balance sheet. So it will be long-term investment. It will go to non-current assets, I think, if I know my accounting correctly. And then basically what happens is there's the element of book value, there's an element of there'll be an element of goodwill. So the some portion you need to sort of amortize, but most of it, I think, will remain as an investment. So the numbers are being worked out, but there'll be some small element of amortization. But otherwise, but the profits will be shown as associate, not as control, because we don't own 51%.
Okay, sir. And any guidance would you like to give for FY26? R&D or any filings from the US?
I think the guidance covers everything. So we have done 1,000 crores for the first half, and I'm giving a guidance for about 275 to 300 crores for the second half. So we'll end the year with about 1275 to 1300 crores PAT. I think that's what we're giving guidance for. I think it's more or less consistent with what we have given at the start of the year. I think we're on track to meet the guidance.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Participants who wish to ask question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of S.C. Gupta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
No, sir, my question has been answered. Thank you. I have no more questions.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
The next question is next from the line of Rahul, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
So, right from 2010-12 to 17, you know, our share price was on a tear, and you had just started this challenging the Farah for innovators, you know. But don't you think right now it's a crowded market with all, even the big Indian domestic pharma companies doing, copying your playbook? I mean, everyone's doing the same thing now, which you did earlier. So, in the sense, like, why? Don't we have others to copy from?
Yeah. So what's your question, Rahul? So you think it's a very competitive business and we should not do it? So what is your question?
My question is that why, like CDMOs, there are other spaces also. Why aren't we expanding in other places where there are, you know, margins as well? Isn't this now, we're not getting the premium by the market for a long time now for doing what we are doing, and we continue to do that. In fact, we are getting beaten back in blue, and you know, we are becoming rich, but only on.
Okay, fine. I understood you. Let me answer your question. See, what does Natco do? Let us understand this. Natco does generics. Okay, it does high quality generics, complex generics, and it does it for India. And it does it for the world market. And this is the business model that we do. And have we been successful in this business? Absolutely, yes. I think you look at the balance sheet, even though last 7-8 years have been very challenging, if you look at our balance sheet, we have grown dramatically. I think the strength of the balance sheet has been dramatic. Our assets have increased, went past 10,000 crores this quarter. So, I mean, have we done well? Absolutely. And if you look at the buying of Adcock and all, these are very large transactions we did, which we couldn't have dreamt about 7-8 years ago, considering our size of a balance sheet then. So, and we again have a very good pipeline in the future. Regarding CDMO businesses and all, when you challenge patents, you can't do CDMO. You can't play both sides. You can either do generics or you do CDMO. You can't do both. So you had to choose which camp you're in. And I believe that this is where our future is, this is where our strength is, and this is what we want to do. Regarding like market, you know, multiple fancy and all, that is, you know, it is left to you guys. Everybody has a fad and then, you know, it goes through a cycle. What really, in the end, sustains is your business execution and what your vision for the larger business is. And you have to just ignore the noise. I think we start looking at stock prices and PE ratios, then you will never able to execute anything. I mean, I'm giving you a general philosophical thinking, and I've been very strong proponent of this. I think you cannot do business thinking about the next quarter. You should be thinking about what the future holds in the next 5-10 years. This is what we focus on. In the long run, it always pays. Okay?
So if I were to critique your ad hoc investment, Which is basically doing the normal products, right? Sardi, Khasi, Zukham, like all that stuff. You know, we are in India, why couldn't we buy a company here? I mean, what is, our population is also much higher than entire South Africa. And in fact, entire continent of Africa. So why are we not, you know, because you are specialists like in this complex generics. And we are from India. So why aren't we not, you know, expanding more here? What prevents us?
No, absolutely. I'll answer your question. I have a very, very reasonable answer for that question. So basically, in my sense, again, this is my personal view. I know the world doesn't believe it, but, you know, it is what I believe. So I'll tell you what I believe. I believe assets in India are extremely expensive. You can't buy any acquisition in India unless you pay 30 to 40 times EBITDA, any high quality assets. Second, our asset buy like Adcock, you will get it, we got it at a much we got it at 10 times EBITDA, if I recollect correct, 10 or 12 times EBITDA. There's no comparison with multiple that you have outside India and in India. India, everything is highly valued. And second thing is you need to look at return on capital, which is one of the most important criteria that drives my decision. And I believe you have a better return on that asset has to perform four times better than, just to meet my South Africa investment. You know what I mean? You know, buying something 35, 40 times and buying something 10 times, it has to perform three or four times better to just to match the return. So I believe these are better returns and also it is diversifying our business. Because as you said, our business is very volatile because it's very US dependent. So what I'm trying to do is bring stability and, you know, bring a business, cough and cold is something that we never had in our portfolio. So you have a very strong base business, which I get criticized a lot, right? So you don't have a very strong base business. Now you can't say that now because we do have a strong base business. And South Africa will contribute, 25 to 30% of our base earnings. So, which I think is, helps give you a more sustainable business and hopefully more stability in our earnings. Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Right, thanks.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Alok Chaudhary, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, in June 2025, Novo and MQ, they have launched Covidra, semaglutide 2.4 mg injection. So, sir, by the time you are saying that you will be in the first wave in March 2026, that drug will be around 9 months old in the Indian market. And when you will be launching that drug, maybe they can go for a predatory pricing. So how will you manage to save your margins and how you will be able to do the domestic sale, because by the time 3 to 4 months or maybe 5 months, 6 months down the line, many of the companies will come in semaglutide. So the margins will shrink out. Again, can it become another case like Rebel Mills that, okay, you can generate volume, but margins will not be there. And NATCO, by genetically, they work maximum on margins than on volume-driven sales. So what do you think about that? How you will navigate your sales?
Let me answer that question. Fair enough. See, first let's answer that question one piece at a time. So I think you're alluding to the MQR transaction with Novo Nordisk. I think they've taken an in-license deal from Novo Nordisk. Yes, they have launched before, and obviously, they have their reach, and they will do reasonably well. And but the generics will have a price advantage because obviously we'll launch at a substantial discount to the innovator prices. So we believe that the discount will be substantial, which will actually increase the size of the market. I'm not going to tell you that we're going to make a lot of money in India. I will never say that. I actually agree with you that it will be very competitive. But I think if you are in the first wave, we'll at least make some money. We'll be able to build some brand and able to do something. Will it be like a jackpot or anything disruptive for our domestic business, which is not a very large business? Our domestic is only 450 crores annualized. So for our business, if we add like even 80, 90 crores for us, it's like a 20% jump in our base business of our domestic, which is a pretty nice number. Will it be like a jackpot, which will generate, let's say, 800 crores, 1,000 crores for us in semaglutide India launch? No, it's not going to happen, my friend. It's not going to happen. You're absolutely right. There are too many guys in it, and they won't just eat. It will be very competitive. But it's the nature of the beast, right? You accept what it is, and then you just move on. But the thing is, you got to keep doing these things, but you'll never know what will work, right? So that's how the nature works.
So, sir, can't it be that once it's off patent, then you can launch in the rest of the world and maybe other markets, or which will be more profitable for you, the USA FTF or the Indian launch of semaglutide?
US any day. US, okay. By far. There's no comparison. It's a 100x difference.
So that means most of the thrust will be for you on the FPF of 6 months in US. Then you will be giving attention to the Indian market. Given a choice.
Our thrust will be mostly on US and the other regulated markets, which are partnership with Viatris, where I think is a larger opportunity than India.
Okay.
Absolutely
okay.
Right.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. I repeat, participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Thadavarti Sai Surendran, retail investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. First of all, congratulations to the management for the stable performance this quarter. Going ahead, do you have expect the next quarter to be even better this, and also the South Africa investment you completed, when you start seeing some contribution from that day?
Yeah, I think I already answered this question, so I'll repeat it one more time. I think the contribution from Revlimid will drop dramatically for the next 2 quarters. We're given a guidance of about, I think, 750 to 800 crores per the quarter. And I think and a PAT guidance of about 135 to 150 crores per quarter. And South Africa will be consolidated partially from this quarter, but fully from next quarter.
Okay, this is the market. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Guru, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Congratulations on your performance so far. I think what I want to understand is like the pipelines and what you have mentioned, right? What is the net expectations in terms of projections, right? Revenue projections for next 5 years. What is your projection of the pipelines or what you mentioned in terms of value? How much of revenue you expect for the next 5 years for the pipeline is what you have?
I didn't want to answer the question. What is my expectation of the pipeline? Is that what you're saying?
No. Let me be clear, right? So what is the revenue expectation or projection from your perspective for the next 5 years from the pipeline perspective, whatever you have in pipeline, past, present, emerging, right? All of these put together for the 5 years down the lane from now, what is the amount or revenue that you project?
I think right now, we expect a 10 to 15% growth in our base business. And once exclusivity start coming in, I think we'll see a little more jump. We'll have some years where we'll have 50, 60% jump in our profits. So I have to start, we have to do a reset. I think starting from, let's say, 26, 27 will be a bit slow, I think based on what guidance we have given. But I think all the big launches are coming in 27, 28, and then slowly we have things in 29. And so I think what you need to do is think of it as two buckets. The base business with the ROW spread where we have should grow around 10 to 15%. And when the years that we have exclusivity, you'll see a substantial jump in the profits. And the opportunities are, already there in the in our presentation. So depending on, the size of the opportunity, it'll play out. So some of them are 25, 30 million type of opportunities. We have a couple of them which are, 100 million, 150 million type of opportunities. So depending on which comes in, I think that's what you'll see. So I think that's how we want to look at it.
Okay. The other question, thank you for that. The other question part of it is like real quick. Is there any opportunity of value unlocking for the shareholders when it comes to the grow business, right? I mean, what would be the value unlocking that we can expect, right? Not accurately, but at least some kind of an indicative thing on the value unlock that you probably plan for the agro diversification or whatever is in the pipeline.
I think the idea here is that we'll demerge the company, Guru. I think we are planning the demerger. I think we have announced it. So we will list that entity maybe sometime in 2026 once all the clearances come through. Value unlocking means I think what we see is this business now is about breaking even now. So we'll list it separately and then we'll have special focus on this. And it can raise its own capital and grow by itself. Somewhere, I think that business gets in our setup, it's a very small business. So I think it'll be good for the shareholders. You'll get a complete see-through in a crop business, and you also have a pharmaceutical business. So I think the real value, I think you'll see it in 26. What numbers and all, it's very hard to predict right now because the ratios.
Okay. That's understood. Sorry, that's understood. I mean, can we expect some value unlocking? Can we see that as an opportunity?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I think my question more is not on numbers, more of like indicative comments from your side on would that be a good opportunity for shareholder value unlocking, this demerger. That's all I wanted to understand.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. I think you'll get you'll get another business which is not being valued in our system because it's getting, it is a very tiny business and a very large business in pharma. So this business will get more attention, and I think shareholders will be duly rewarded for the fact that it's been demerged.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
All right. Thank you all for a wonderful set of questions. Again, once we receive the transcripts, it will be uploaded to the website. Otherwise, all of you have a great day. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of NACTO Pharma Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.